By the power of the blessings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our most exalted, beloved Acharyas of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara, we have gathered here in the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his eternal pastimes. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that one cannot enter into a holy place simply by buying a plane ticket or a railway ticket or renting a bus or a taxi or a chariot or a rickshaw or even walking or even crawling. Because a holy dham is not a place of this material world. It is the spiritual world manifesting. And it is, the holy dham is none different than Krishna. Krishna tells us in Gita, ye cha dhamam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham. According to the nature of our surrender, according to the quality of our love, Krishna reveals himself. And similarly, Krishna reveals the holy dham according to the spirit of our prayerfulness, our humility, and our sincere devotion. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura would say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna, to please Krishna in such a way that Krishna is happy to see you. That is the way we approach Mayapur town. Our acharyas teach us that in this age of Kali Yuga, the purifying, sanctifying powers of all the holy places in the world are diminished. But Sri Navadvip, it is the special place of deliverance for this age of Kali. Therefore, however much the people of this world become degraded, the powers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy here in this holy land increase. It's very interesting to ask the question, why of everywhere in this world did Srila Prabhupada decide to make Mayapur his international headquarters? Why in this place was he willing to dedicate and sacrifice the most of the energies of his worldwide society? From a rationalistic, mundane perspective, it really didn't make sense. Srila Prabhupada taught us utility is the principle. But Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujai, What does that mean? That's a very deep subject. Srila Prabhupada, he had a magnificent skyscraper building on the island of Manhattan in New York City. The center of the whole Earth planet as far as the activities of humanity. There were excellent telephones, excellent telecommunications, excellent everything was there. A few minutes from an airport. Srila Prabhupada had a beautiful, these are purchased buildings, a fantastic block, a full city block of practically of homes, a big church in Los Angeles. Just a few blocks away from the major production studios where Hollywood movies are being made. Just a few seconds walk from one of Los Angeles's main roads. He had a wonderful large building in Chicago, in London, one of the most important, influential cities on the planet. Srila Prabhupada not only had a center downtown near the British Museum, but he had a beautiful mansion with an estate and wonderful property, many, many acres given by George Harrison. He had a large church in Toronto, Canada, in Montreal, Canada, a wonderful temple in Paris. These are prime locations with super excellent locations as far as accessibility. Why he chose to make his international headquarters? A place where there was no electricity. There was no type of city plumbing. There was no telephones. To get here was hours and hours by road from Calcutta, Bengali roads. And all that was here was a straw hut. And during the monsoon rainy seasons, so much rain, the straw hut, which at the time was just surrounded by endless fields. And practically all the neighbors were hostile. And there was practically no law to protect us from the hostile neighbors. And during the monsoons, devotees would go on the rooftops. And sometimes their roommates were poison snakes that were floating and taking shelter of the straw roof. Why, when he had so much facility in so many primary material places in the world, Srila Prabhupada very, very powerfully proclaimed that Sri Mayapur will be our international headquarters. He was not seeing with material vision. He was saying that Mayapur is the most powerful place in the world because it is the place where we could, people from all around the world, connect with the deepest, most profound manifestation of Krishna's grace. when there was hardly anything more than a straw hut and they were just starting with great efforts to build a few little rooms. Srila Prabhupada was in Gainesville, Florida. It's kind of out of the way, but still, there's a beautiful airport, there's a nice, clean, smooth highway. And Srila Prabhupada said that we are in this very remote place, so far from Sri Mayapur Dham. He was saying, as the center of the universe, as far as its relevance, as far as people in the West, even devotees, before Srila Prabhupada came, nobody ever heard of Navadvip or Mayapur. Since all the developments that's been in the last 40 years, it's hard to imagine what it was like at that time. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with the Panchatattva, performed their most beautiful intimate pastimes here in Navadvipa. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared here. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he understood the importance of revealing Mayapur to the whole world. Back in the 1800s, not many people were thinking like this. But he was doing extensive research in the scriptures, approaching many saintly people, going to government archives, seeking ancient maps from over 400 years before. And he actually located the exact place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. The place where people were accepting it on the other side of the river, and they were making a lot of profits by doing so, it didn't match with what the Holy Scriptures explained. Thakur Bhaktivinod prayed. He didn't only pray, but he worked with great devotion. And Krishna revealed a magnificent light in an isolated jungle-like field. And he brought Jagannath Das Babaji, the greatest of Vaishnavas at the time, his own Shiksha Guru. At that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was so old. He was over 120 years old. He was carried in a basket. He had not been able to walk on his legs for many years. And his assistant, Biharila, would carry him on his shoulder. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur took him to this remote, isolated jungle. And when they came here, they saw, right in the middle of all these weeds and fields, there were beautiful tulsi plants growing. None of the local people would have planted them, it appeared. And when the basket was placed in the ground and Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked, asked his Guru Maharaj's realization, Jagannath Das Babaji jumped into the air. According to what people say, his feet were above everyone's heads. He jumped, he danced, he wept, and he cried out, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana.
Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana.
And confirmed, this is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the records, the maps, the sadhus, and now confirmed by the greatest of saints of the time. And in this remote place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a very distinguished advocate of the courts, not advocate, he was a magistrate. He was a judge in the British courts. Also proclaimed a great scholar. He had written many books on philosophy, religion, wonderful songs and prayers, poetry. Even the highest people in politics, in literature, in academics, in spirituality honored him. And he went house to house begging to engage more and more people in the service of building a nice temple for Lord Chaitanya in his birthplace. And his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Thakur Bhaktivinoda prayed from his heart of hearts that an eternal associate of Lord Krishna from the spiritual world would descend as his son to help carry on this great mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a vision. It was an inconceivable vision. He was perceiving thousands of people from all over the world, of all colors, of all races, of all religious backgrounds, of all castes. He was seeing Americans and Russians and Africans and Europeans and Australians, along with Indians, with their arms raised, dancing in ecstasy in Sri Mayapur Dham, crying out the names of Lord Gauranga. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was born in Puri. With his father, he lived in many different places, Calcutta. And later, Navadvip. He understood his father's mission. He understood the will of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to prepare himself, he sat where is now the Sri Chaitanya Math, just a few minutes from where we're sitting. From 1905 to 1915, he sat in one place to chant 1 billion names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. He was in a little straw hut. He didn't have disciples. In the rainy season, someone gave him an old umbrella, and he would sit in his hut with the leaky roof with the umbrella. He would just chant, chant, chant. And after fulfilling that vow here in Sri Mayapur Dham, he took sannyas. And with the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, he went to Calcutta. What was his purpose? He went to Calcutta and ultimately started centers all over India, 64 mats. He sent some of his leading disciples to London, to Germany. And in his writings, he tells us it was all to expand the grace of Sri Mayapurta. In Calcutta in 1922, he gave Srila Prabhupada that most prophetic, historical directive. On their first meeting, our Srila Prabhupada then Abhay Charan just bowed down for the first time to a person he never met before and was given. He was given these words that you are an intelligent young man. Take this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. He was married. He had just recently had a baby child. But that seed was planted in his heart. That was 1922. In 1965, Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan and he went to Mumbai. Mumbai is a good place to accomplish things. It's not easy, but it's a good place to struggle. And how he struggled. He begged for this ticket on a cargo ship. I took a train from Bombay back to Vrindavan. I think it was the mail train. It takes about 48 hours at least to get to Calcutta. And before boarding the Jaladuta, Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary, he came to Mayapur Dham. This is where it all began. And ultimately, this is where he was going to bring people from all over the world. That was his vision. The Panchatattva here in Sri Mayapur Dham, they plundered the storehouse of prema bhakti, love of God. How did they plunder it? Through Harinam Sankirtan, through Harikatha, and through the satsang with each other. They tasted the ecstatic sweetness of prema bhakti. And in an intoxicated state, they took this unlimited wealth of this treasure house and distributed profusely to everyone, to anyone, not considering one's qualifications or disqualifications. The only qualification is our willingness to receive it. Krishna is eager to come into our hearts and reveal himself in full. To mitigate all the sufferings of material existence and elevate us to the spiritual platform of ananda, transcendental ecstasy. As Lord Chaitanya, the only qualification is that we open our hearts to receive him. By just following the simple process he's given. Srila Prabhupada came here in 1965. Previously, it describes in Prabhupada's Lilamrita by His Holiness Satsarup Goswami Maharaj how Srila Prabhupada would come to Mayapur Dham sometime to visit his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But now it was over 20 years since his Gurudev had left this world. He came to Sri Mayapur Dham and spent the day praying at the Samadhi Mandir, at the memorial of his Gurudev, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because he was given an impossible mission. Taking the blessings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva here in Mayapur, he went close by to Shantipur. My dear god sister Mula Prakriti Devi, in her book, she writes of an incredible incident. At the Advaita Bhavan, the home of Sri Advaita Acharya, the place where Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu would have kirtans, would take prasad, that very place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after leaving early in the morning one day to become a sannyasi, left everyone in Navadvipa, all of the devotees, in a devastated condition. He left us. He didn't even tell us. And as a sannyasi, we may never see him again. His brother Vishwaroop left us and he took sannyas, and we never heard from him again. It was impossible for them to live. When a dear person in our lives passes from this world, we understand the feeling of hopelessness and pain that could be there. Because there's affection. The affection, the love between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in Navadvip, Srivas, Advaita, Haridas, Murari Gupta, Vishnu Priya, and especially his mother, Sachi Devi. Their love was millions and billions of trillions, in fact, unlimitedly more deep than any conception of affection in this world. And now he was gone. And they were thinking possibly forever. Sachi Mata, as the Lord was leaving, she was standing, because she was standing at the doorway to stop him, because she felt this was the night he would leave. And when she saw him actually leaving, she was like a stone statue. She could not move. The only movement was incessant tears pouring from her eyes. And to show the etiquette of a devotee, who Lord Chaitanya was, exemplifying to the highest degree, he asked his mother's permission. And by his own powers, beyond her own, she shook her head. And he touched her feet and put the dust of her feet on his head, circumambulated her, and left. After taking sannyas and katva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was planning to go to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu had another idea, and somehow or other created a detour
by his compassion to all the devotees and brought Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur.
And they invited Sachimata and all the devotees to come to see him again. Vipralamba, separation, increases the intensity of the joy of union, sambhog.
How many of you would have liked to be at this festival where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hopelessly leaving his devotees in separation, returned to Shantipur to meet them all?
There were days and days of kirtan and Sachimata.
When she came, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw her and he prostrated himself at her feet. The crest jewel of all sannyasis, she took him and put him on her lap and looked at his face, his beautiful moon-like face, with tears pouring from her heart. Sachimata had one request to all the devotees. As long as my son is here, let me cook for him. Everyone wanted to cook for him. But it's the nature of a true Vaishnav. Paradukaduki. Another's happiness is our happiness. Ultimately, the highest happiness for all the devotees were to see Sachimata's happiness. And the greatest pain to all the devotees was to see previously Sachidevi's sorrow. Even Nityananda Prabhu, when he learned Lord Chaitanya was going to leave, he went to a secluded place and incessantly cried, thinking, what will become of Sachidevi? And now, the reunion. Sachi was cooking. The devotees were having beautiful kirtans. They were together again. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the request of Sachidevi and all the devotees, he agreed to go to Jagannath Puri, where he would see all of them almost every year. And Sachimata would continuously hear about his pastimes. This incredible event, as well as so many others, took place in Shantipur. Let us go back. Advaitacharya was the crest jewel of all Brahmins. He was the leader, the most respected of all the esteemed Brahmins in the community. His scholarship, the family that he descended from, his incredible qualities. And at that time, in India, there was a very strong perversion of the caste system. If someone was not born in a respectable caste, they were considered to be of very low character. And if someone was not from any caste, they were considered unseeable and untouchable. And according to the Brahmin misconceptions, There was nothing you could do for such a person.
If they serve very nicely the Brahmins from a distance, then there's hope in their next birth they can be elevated to a higher caste. Advaitacharya in Shantipur accepted as his dearmost brother and friend Thakur Haridas, who was of an untouchable birth.
Before he came to Shantipur,
wherever he was being persecuted, criticized, condemned. People were trying to kill him, to destroy him, to disgrace him.
Nowhere he went was he not subjected to that.
Now, somebody with that background, usually to become their friend, it's not so good for your reputation. But Advaitacharya, he didn't care anything for any of that. He embraced Thakur Haridas. By embracing you, I'm becoming purified. He wanted to arrange Haridas Thakur's accommodation.
Haridas preferred caves.
Advaitacharya arranged a cave for him right on the bank of the Ganga in Fuliagram, just close to Shantipur. And every day they would come together and Advaitacharya would feed Haridas. They would discuss Harikatha together. They would embrace one another. They would reveal their hearts to one another. They would chant the holy names in Kirtan. It was in Shantipur that Advaita was performing the Shraddha. Very, very significant event in those days. And during the Shraddha, the most esteemed, qualified of all Brahmins are honored in that ceremony. And because Advaita Prabhu was the leader of the whole community, the topmost Brahmins from Shantipur in all directions came for that event. And right in front of everyone, Sri Advaitacharya. Acharya means he teaches by his example. He shocked everyone. He called Haridas Thakur to accept the first and highest honors. This was the culmination, the crescendo of the whole Shraddha ceremony that he was performing to honor the most qualified person to receive Krishna's blessings. Even Haridas Thakur was shocked that in front of everyone, he's worshiping me. Advaitacharya saw within this world how Kali Yuga was prevailing. How morality, ethics, and true spiritual principles were degrading rapidly. In previous times, people were pious. And if they did impious things, they kind of kept it secret. But as Kali Yuga's progressing, it was the fashion. It was the popular, famous, prestigious thing to do, to sin, to be impious. And even in the name of religion, so much hypocrisy, so much misconception. Advaita saw that practically nowhere. People were, so-called religious people, were spending large sums of money to worship a snake goddess, to get money, to get power, to get fame. But nowhere would anyone chant the names of Hari, the Supreme Lord. Advaitacharya, he, with tears in his eyes, was praying for Krishna to descend from Goloka Vrindavan to spread the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshai Vishnu. He's also Sadashiva. Sadashiva's expansion as Rudra is the destroyer of the whole cosmic manifestation. When he dances, you know what happens. And as Mahavishnu Karuna Dakshai, his power is by his mere glance. He impregnates the Mahatattva with all life, with all the jivas, the eternal souls. By the power of Advaitacharya, he's the creator and the destroyer of the whole cosmic manifestation. And he was thinking himself, I don't have the power to rescue these people. To give these people of Kali Yuga this type of pure bhakti, only Krishna himself. He felt such deep compassion, not only for the people of the time, he was feeling compassion for you and me and all our families and everyone in this world today. He had that vision. He was seeing all living entities in this earth planet for thousands of years to come. And he was crying to see what the condition would be. He was worshiping the Shalagram Shila. He read in the Gautamiya Tantra, where Krishna tells, If one worships me as the Shalagram and offers me water from the Ganga and Tulsi leaves and cries out my holy names, I will fulfill his desire. He spent his days and nights weeping, praying, crying, and chanting for the Lord to descend. And at the same time, Thakur Haridas shared that same compassion. He was chanting minimum 300,000 names of Krishna. That's about 192 rounds. That was Haridas Thakur's minimum. And he wasn't falling asleep. And he wasn't thinking of all the things he would do after he finishes his rounds. And he wasn't doing it for just the month of Kartik. He had vowed to do this till the day he dies. And he was especially chanting to bring Krishna down from Goloka to manifest the Sankirtan movement in this world. They would meet together and discuss their passions, discuss their prayers, discuss their hearts, how to bring Krishna down. And they would chant together, they would do kirtan together, they would harikata together, they would do puja to bring Lord Chaitanya to this world. What an incredible lesson Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his very advent, he showed the world an untouchable and a high-class Brahmin as brothers, intimately, in the principle of bhakti, chanting together. And it was that combination that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrendered his heart to come to show compassion to the whole world. This is Shantipur. Srila Prabhupada went to Shantipur. And the pujari there, he tells a story of how early back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, Srila Prabhupada would come to Shantipur every now and then as a grihastha, because he would come to visit Mayapur, and then he would go to Advaita Bhavan, and he would just sit in the back quietly in total deep prayer, chanting the holy names. And the pujari told that this person, he just seemed to be so engrossed in prayer. I never spoke to him. I didn't want to bother him. He would quietly sit for hours at a time in prayer and then leave without saying a word to anyone. And then many years, in fact, decades passed where this person never came back. And then one day, in 1965, the pujari saw that same man who used to be dressed in white as a grihastha, who would just sit and pray so deeply. Now he was praying so deeply in the same place in the back of the temple. But he was a sannyasi in saffron robes. And for the first time, as Srila Prabhupada was leaving, the pujari spoke to him. And he asked him about himself. And Srila Prabhupada explained that my spiritual master has given me an impossible instruction to go to the Western world, to travel the world, to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission of the Sankirtan movement. He was so humble. He felt he had no qualifications. But in a few days, he was going to board the Jaladuta for that purpose. Prabhupada said, I've come to pray for blessings. He had gone to the Yogapeeth. He had gone to Advaita Bhavan. He had gone to the samadhi of his Guru Maharaj and then boarded the Jaladuta. Thirty-eight days at sea, New York City, established a little storefront after much struggle. At one time, some young, very crazy American type hippie started taking interest and invited Prabhupada to stay in his loft
just a one-room apartment.
And Prabhupada wrote to his god brothers all over India and said, please send some people, send some funds. We have a temple now in New York City. Our Gurudev's mission is being spread.
But no one could take it seriously. Whatever replies were, just come back, it's impossible. And then Srila Prabhupada had a few little followers in a tiny little storefront in a rundown part of the Lower East Side. And he invited some of his followers to bring a lawyer to register the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Nobody could understand. They didn't think it would ever go beyond that storefront. Srila Prabhupada had the vision of millions of people coming to Mayapur Dham. Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world 11 times to bring the blessings and the mercy of Sri Mayapur to the world. And he established this as his international center so that the whole world could come to experience the supremely purifying grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And it is his prayer, his grace, that has brought all of us here together for this yatra. Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godadveshe Nama. There are many avatars, but Lord Chaitanya is most munificent because he is doing what no other avatar has ever done. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us some clue of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the world. He describes how throughout the ages, Krishna descends to establish or re-establish true religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir babati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Sometimes he appears in every yuga as yuga avatar to establish the yuga dharma for that age. In satya yuga, meditation. In treta yuga, yajna, sacrifice. In Dwapar Yuga, worship in the temple. And in Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan. He also appears as Lila avatars, Manva avatars, Guna avatars. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his original form as Swayam Bhagavan, the source of all other incarnations, the full, complete, absolute truth in his most intimate, ecstatic, lovable feature of Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami explains, how rare is Krishna's advent in his original form? Once in a day of Brahma, there are four yugas that comprise one Divya Yuga.
71 Divya Yugas in one Manvantar. 14 Manvantars in one day of Brahma. In the seventh Manvantar, Vaivashvata Manu, in his 28th Divya Yuga, Krishna appears. That's one time every 323 billion. I'm sorry, 4,320,000,000 years. I'm not good with numbers, especially even small numbers. My whole life, I've never been able to memorize a telephone number. I only know one telephone number of when I was a child, our home number, because it was there for like 19 years. 8431413. It's the only telephone number I've ever known in my life. So, 4,320,000,000 years. I'm sorry, but Krishna appears. And when Krishna appears, he reveals the eternal pastimes of Goloka. He comes with Srimati Radharani, his Ladini Shakti, and Sri Balaramji, his original expansion, and his eternal mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda, and the Sakis and the Sakas and the Manjaris and the Gopas and the Gopis and the Surabhi cows. And the eternal Yamuna River descends from Goloka to assist in his pastimes in Vrindavan. And Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill. In our holy scriptures, Krishna tells Srimati Radharani, I'm going to descend into this world of the earth. And in Goloka, Srimati Radharani is saying, but how can I must come with you. And he said, yes, I cannot go without you. You're coming with me. Here we are none different. And she said, but how can I go anywhere without the forest of Vrindavan, the hill of Govardhan, and the river Yamuna? He said, I already sent them. So Krishna performed his beautiful pastimes in this world, and Shukadev Goswami has described them with all authority and in ecstatic love in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains Krishna's thinking. How beautiful. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear Krishna's words. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about Krishna's incredible leelas and his words and his loving relationships with his devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get Krishna's thinking. That I have descended to establish the four rasas. Of Dasyaras, servitude. Sakyaras, friendship, Vatsalyaras, parenthood, and Madhuryaras, conjugal love. I'm conquered by the intimacy of that love. In most of the great religions that I have established in this world, people honor me and worship me as the absolute, supreme, all-powerful creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all that exists. They fear sin. That's preliminary. That's necessary. But for Krishna and Vrindavan, this reverential attitude,
cripples the sweetness of devotion. We must have that at the beginning stages until we're purified. Well, Krishna says that in this age of Kali, I want to establish the rasas of Braj Bhumi, where Yashoda Mai conquers me with her love and binds me with a rope, where my little cowherd friends, they joke with me, and I carry them on my shoulders. And sometimes they carry me on their shoulders. And I'm taking food that they're eating and eating it, and then giving it back to them, and then they eat something and give it to me. And the gopis, in their love, I am conquered when they reproach me, when they chastise me. No one but the original Krishna could establish that within this world. Krishna was thinking, I will descend, and through the Sankirtan movement, I will establish the rasas of Vrindavan and make the world dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended with a garland, a mala, made of Nam Kirtan and Prema Bhakti, and came to place that garland on the whole world. That is Lord Chaitanya.
Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikatir Ladini Shakti Rasmat.
That the Absolute Truth is one.
The Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Brahmaiti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shaktite.
That those who are knowers of the truth understand that there are three features eternally of the Absolute Truth.
Brahman,
the all-pervading, apparently impersonal light that pervades everything. The apparently formless manifestation of the Absolute Truth.
Paramatma, the Lord who is in and between every atom and seated in the heart of every living being as the witness and the ultimate guide. And Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dira Govinda Sarava Karana Karana.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, has an eternal form which is full of bliss and knowledge. It is not of this world. It is purely spiritual.
Some people, not understanding the principle of true spirituality, think that why would God have a form like us?
This is some sort of anthropomorphism or some sort of symbolism or analogy that God comes with two arms and he has girlfriends and boyfriends and mothers and fathers. He's coming to teach us something, no doubt, but this can't be God.
The Bible tells that man is made in the image of God. You see, our acharyas tell us that the human being is the species of life within the creation that has the capacity to awaken love of God.
There are 8,400,000 species of life.
And of the lower species, the plants and the trees, the aquatics,
insects, reptiles, birds, animals. They can't inquire into the nature of the truth. By the blessings of God through humans, they can become purified. But they don't have that free will. The human being is the crescendo of creation in the sense that we have the power for Sharanagati, to surrender to the absolute truth. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that this human life is so rare. We shouldn't waste it. It's so precious. Human life is the species. It's the facility to fall in love with Krishna. So our acharyas explain, Krishna has actually arranged that this species of life is in his form, so it's so easy to fall in love with him. No doubt we could fall in love with him when he's a boar, or when he's a lion, or when he's a fish or a tortoise. But Ram, Krishna, they're attracting our love in a very, very special way. Bhagavan, within the spiritual sky, which is endless, there are innumerable spiritual planets where the absolute truth in many different forms are performing eternal pastimes with their devotees. Sri Ram, Sri Narayan, Sri Narasingha, Sri Varaha, they have their planets where they're enjoying intimate, loving reciprocations with all of his devotees, according to the nature of their devotion. Goloka, or Krishna Loka, is considered the most inclusive because all other aspects of love of God are there, included within the spontaneous intimacy of Krishna's lila. That one absolute truth is one. Nothing is separate from Krishna. The Vaishnava philosophy teaches us, it is agreed on by Vishnu Swami, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Madhvacharya, from these great paramparas or disciplic successions from the beginning of creation, originating with Lakshmi, Brahma, the four Kumaras, and Shiva. That the absolute truth is one. And everything is manifesting, emanating from that one absolute truth. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. And the jiva, the tatastha shakti, the jiva is the source of life within every living being. What gives consciousness and life to any species, that is the jiva. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanat. It is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of the jiva. We are infinitesimal parts of Krishna, like a ray of sun is qualitatively one with the sun. But achintya bheda bheda tattva, one and different. The Upanishads describe the nature of the difference. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovadadati kama. That there is one eternal, the absolute truth, and from that one eternal is expanded unlimited eternals. The unlimited eternals are forever subordinate to the one eternal. The jiva is tatashta shakti. There are three primary energies. The antaranga shakti, the internal spiritual potency, the bahiranga shakti, the external material energy, and the tatastha shakti, the jiva. We have free will. Krishna is abhigya swarat. He's fully independent. He has complete cognizance of everything everywhere. And as a particle of Krishna, we were created to love Krishna. And we were created to be loved by Krishna. Krishna never stops loving us, no matter what we do. But we have the choice whether we reciprocate with his love. And by the free will of the living of the jiva, we can be put under the coverings of this bahiranga or maya shakti. And this maya shakti is so powerful. Krishna tells in Gita, mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, that this maya is my energy. It's my potency. She is all powerful. We have no power to escape her illusions. The general person is simply captured. Janasya mohoyamamameti. I am this body. And whatever in relationship to this body is mine. My body, my family, my friends, my property, my intelligence, my skills, my life. But janma mrityu jarabhyadi dukkha dosanu darshanam. But nothing is ours. Birth, old age, disease, and death are inevitable. The power of time takes everything away. The power of Maya, even when we see everything around us dying, even we see bombs exploding, even so many of our desires are being frustrated and so many betrayals and so many anxieties, we still want to be the controller, the proprietor, and the enjoyer. And even when we have knowledge, still it's very difficult to give up these conceptions. They're so deeply habituated within us. Has any of you ever had that experience? So there are different ways that through religious paths people respond to this. The Karmakanda path, by being completely moral, completely ethical, completely philanthropic and pious in every aspect of our life, keeping ourselves totally clean and our homes clean, and offering worship by our good works. The limit that we can achieve is elevation to higher planets, where there is a longer life with less disease and less anxieties. But ultimately, when the karma is exhausted, we're back in the same situation. And others, through the tapasya of various processes of yoga, after many births of cultivation, we can develop siddhis. Miraculous, incredible, supernatural powers. We could read people's minds. We could jump on a sun ray and go to the sun planet. We could jump in the Ganga and chant a mantra and go to Badrinath, without taking all those buses where everyone's vomiting and everything.
We could say a mantra and create gold, create palaces. We saw, to the extent, mystic cities. Kardama Muni, he wanted a nice place for he and his wife to live. So he just chanted a mantra, and by his yogic powers, he made an airplane. Now, in my traveling and preaching, sometimes I'm asked to be on somebody's private jet, where it's just, you know, two people flying. Very nice jets. Well, compared to Kardama Muni's? There was no seatbelt signs. There were parks and lakes and swans and peacocks and trees and beautiful palaces. And you didn't have to sit in a seat. There were musicians and entertainers and cooks, and it was wonderful. You just enjoy like anything. Recently, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami and His Holiness Sachinanand Swami, His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami, Her Grace Malati Devi, His Grace Yadubar Prabhu, they all kind of forced me to go on this ocean cruise. Some of you were there, I see. And I was thinking, I remember when I was going on the, I was walking up, there wasn't like, I was expecting to, you know, go on those steps like I see photos of Prabhupada and Jaladutta. But there was this marble staircase, and then there was an elevator with brass handles and everything. And I was, my God. I said, Bhakti Charu Swami, this is nothing like the Jaladutta. This is a little more like Kardama Muni's place. It was a boat that was about two city blocks big, and it was 12 stories, yes, 12 floors. And there were restaurants and casinos, and there was health spas and swimming pools and auditoriums and theaters, and everything was marble and brass, and like heaven. I remember when I turned to Sachinanand Swami, I said, this is not the kind of place sannyasis usually go. But there were 250 other devotees there. We were supposed, we were going to have kirtans and lectures, and wherever we went on port, we were going to do Harinam. So I was thinking, oh, how nice. Should I tell you this story? Anyways, I asked about the ship, and they told me that it's leaving from the Southampton port. And the Southampton port is very historical, because this year is the 100th anniversary of the most famous thing that ever happened from the Southampton port. It is where a boat began its journey. The name of the boat was the Titanic. So everyone's really excited. We're going to be here for, I think, 9 days. And then the boat started moving. There was the horn of the boat goes. And at the same time, almost in perfect harmony, my stomach went. I was totally seasick. Immediately, as soon as it moved, I got seasick.
How many of you have been seasick? Please raise your hand.
It's really hellish. You're so nauseous, and you're so dizzy, and you lose your balance, and you're... And what can you do?
I was thinking 9 days. And I was seasick every minute for the next 9 days. Except I have to admit, because I was supposed to give some classes, and at the 8th day after my class, I deserted the ship. But in France. But I remember the seasickness was so much.
We're on this beautiful 5-star kind of hotel ship with all opulences and all enjoyments like anything are there. And I was looking out as the boat was moving, and I saw in the land, some part of England, there was this filthy, dirty, what do they call them? Factory. Where they have those big chimneys and black smoke gushing out, some sort of refinery. The most polluted looking thing you can find. Some oil refinery or something, and there was just black and chimneys and just steel.
And I was on this beautiful ship, and I was thinking as I was seeing this factory, I wish I could be there. That's Vaikuntha compared to here. So Krishna, I did my service, but I didn't enjoy anything. So that was Krishna's protection.
But anyways, Kardama Muni, there was no seasickness. There was no air sickness. It was a magnificent. And that's just a tiny little sample of what one could do through the yogic process of getting mystical siddhis, of performing all sorts of miracles and actually manipulating material energy according to your desires. But that's the extent. And through the perfection of the jnana marg, one can attain mukti, liberation. Through analytical, discriminating knowledge, through tapasya, renunciation, through meditation, one could be liberated from sufferings. Born of the dualities and the desires and aversions of this world. Brahmananda. The bliss of Brahman. Where one realizes, aham brahmasmi, I'm not this body. This body that's subjected to so many anxieties. We're trying to enjoy because we're part of Krishna. We're meant to enjoy. Anandamayobhyashad, our nature is to enjoy. Unlimitedly, ecstatically, eternally. That is our nature. That's who we are. But when we try to enjoy through these frail, vulnerable little bodies in this world, it's incredible when you travel a lot. So many people suffering of diseases, cancer, heart disease, hepatitis, broken hearts, betrayals, financial crises. It's just epidemics. What to speak of suppressive, depressive governments, tsunamis, hurricanes, droughts, floods, and we're trying to enjoy.
Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. Govinda Das says, trying to enjoy anything in this world, whatever there is, it's like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. It's soon to slip away. mukti. No more suffering. Total peace. Om Shanti. That's the extent. But to realize our eternal, deepest instinct of prema, intimate, ecstatic love, to infinitely love an object, the supreme, all-attractive object of Krishna, and to feel Krishna's infinite love, that's the nature of the soul. And that cannot be attained by our own powers. Krishna tells in Gita, Bhaktya Tvadane Yashakya Aham Evam Vidurjana. It is only by undivided devotion, bhakti, that I can be understood as I am standing before you. Muktanamapi Siddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha Prasantatma Koteshvapi Mahamune. Out of many people who achieve mukti, liberation, and out of many people who achieve these incredible supernatural powers of siddhis, it's very rare to find one who is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only such a person is totally satisfied, because it's our natural position. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his whole teachings to Sanatana Goswami for the whole world on the foundation of one principle. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that we are eternal servants of Krishna. But under the clutches of Maya, we have forgotten. We're struggling to enjoy, and when we're frustrated, we try to escape suffering. The absolute truth is one. But that absolute truth has, for all eternity, not within the confines of our conceptions of material time, has separated into two, for the purpose of loving relationships. Krishna and Radha. Krishna is the supreme predominator. Radha is the supreme predominated. Krishna is the Vishaya. He is the ultimate object of love. Radha is Ashraya, the supreme ultimate abode of love. Krishna is the supreme beloved. Radha is the supreme lover. Krishna is the Shakti Man, the source of all potencies, and Radha is the supreme Shakti, the Hladini Shakti, the source of all the Lord's energies. The energy, Hladini, of Ananda, of bliss. As the feminine aspect of the one supreme absolute truth, with all the power, there is no difference between Radha and Krishna. They are the one truth. But for love, they are two. And all the jivas, all the living entities, have been created by them for the purpose of being a part of sharing their infinite love for each other. That's the ultimate fulfillment of every Atma. And because Sri Radha's love is so powerful, it conquers Krishna. Because
We are part and parcel. Our potential is a part and parcel of Radha's love, is our nature. The love of each and every one of us has the power to conquer the all-conquering Ajita Krishna. That is the nature of love. We read in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna, he is seeing himself, a reflection in a jeweled pillar. And he's thinking, how beautiful I am. But I can't appreciate the beauty. Only Sri Radhika fully appreciates my beauty. What is the nature of her love that even conquers me? What is it about me that gives such happiness to Srimati Radharani that even I cannot comprehend? And what does she feel when she tastes the sweetness of my love? In order to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and to distribute that love to the world at a time of the greatest need, the Kali Yuga, Radha Bhavi, Radha Bhava Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna takes the Mahabhav, the supreme ecstasy of Radha's love, and assumes her divine, beautiful, golden complexion. And Radha Krishna become one in the form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to spread the sweetness of the love of Vrindavan through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Sri Radha is the full, unlimited, supreme power of grace. It is only by that grace that prema bhakti can awaken in our heart. It is only by that grace that we can ultimately be free from the bondage of Maya. It is only by that grace that we can be thoroughly forgiven, thoroughly cleansed, thoroughly empowered. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mama damya prapadyante maya me tatarantite. The Gita Krishna tells, this material energy consisting of the three modes of nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, is very powerful. It is very difficult. It is impossible to overcome for a jiva. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. Sharanagati. To the degree we surrender, we can access Sri Radha's grace. The analogy is given of the absolute truth, like the sun. In the darkness of the night, if you want to find the sun, what can you do? Even if you have multi-PhDs in technology and science and astronomy and astrology, you can create the most unbelievable
lighting systems, the most piercing lasers, the most incredibly powerful telescopes.
But can you find the sun?
Whatever extent the knowledge, the powers of humanity, we can never find the sun in the dark.
We only can find the sun when the sun of his own accord rises for us. And similarly, by the power of our knowledge, by the power of our austerities, by the power of our piety, our philanthropy, by the power of our yajnas, by the power of our yoga, by the power of our influence over others, we can never find Krishna as he is. It's only by grace. You see, when the sun rises, how are we able to see the sun? Through the sunlight. Without sunlight, we cannot understand the sun. We see the sun through the sunlight. Similarly, we cannot approach Krishna except through his Ladini Shakti, through Sri Radha.
Radha dispels all darkness and reveals Krishna.
And the power of Radha is the power of grace. And there's only one way to access grace, and that's through Sharanagati, through our humility, through our surrender, through our service attitude. This is how we understand the holy Dham. This is how we understand the holy name. This is how we understand the truth of the beautiful Murti that stands before us in the morning. This is how we understand the Lord within our own hearts through grace.
Srila Prabhupada explained that in bhakti, we are actually performing the functions that are eternally done in the spiritual world. Sometimes Prabhupada say you are all liberated. And devotees would look at him like, hey, we're liberated? You know, what's in my mind? What's in my heart? No, you are liberated. Because when you're engaging properly in the path of bhakti, you're engaged in liberated activities. Chanting Krishna's name, doing seva for Krishna, whatever it is, these are the activities of the spiritual world. Seva. He said, you are liberated in what you're doing, but you just haven't realized it. Through purification, we realize it. And that is only possible in the association of people, satsang, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvasatrukoi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhihoi. By the association of true sadhus, it opens the doors, it opens the faith, the shraddha in our heart to take to the path by which we learn the sweetness of Sharanagati and access, receive that grace, Sri Radha's grace. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. With the love of Sri Radha, with the grace and the compassion of Sri Radha, distributing it to the world through this Harinam Sankirtan, through devotional service.
When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of the 9 processes of bhakti, which is the most important? Lord Chaitanya replied, kirtan, the chanting of the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted his own guru instructing him, which is very, very important. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna together in one form. The most munificent, the most magnanimous. But coming in the role of a devotee to teach by his example, he humbled himself before a guru in parampara. Here in Navadvip, he was Nimai Pandit. He was the greatest scholar on the planet. And he was still a teenager. As a teenage boy, he defeated Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri, the world champion debater, and everybody else that stood before him. Why? And he was the greatest scholar of the scriptures. You see, it's not by learning that we can understand Krishna. It's by grace. He humbled himself to serve his guru, Sri Ishwara Puripada. And it was then that he manifested his ecstatic love. And he came back to Navadvip. Actually, there's a beautiful story. After in Gaya, when he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, and he was in that ecstasy of love of God, manifested the love of Radha. He was running to Vrindavan, and the devas spoke to him. He said, my Lord, you have descended in this world to expand this love of God in your heart to the world, and you have come to manifest the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. So go to Vrindavan later, but now go to Navadvip. And he came here. He came back to his home in the house of Sachidevi and established the kirtan in the house of Srivas. And he explained that his guru gave him this wisdom, the essence of all knowledge. Hadarnama, hadarnama, hadarnam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 katir anyata. That in this age of Kali, for this highest aspiration of prema bhakti, it's easily accessible. The only way the people of Kali can come to that platform is through the chanting of the names of Hari, the names of the Lord. Nam namakari bahudanija sarva shaktis. The Lord said that Krishna, or God, the absolute truth, Parabrahman, has many, many names. And in each of them has invested all of his potencies. And there are no hard and fast rules for this chanting. Kalerdo sandide rajan asti heko mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. We read the news, we see what's happening around us, and how it even affects devotees. It's an ocean of faults. But there's one benediction, that anyone who sincerely, earnestly, honestly takes the name of Krishna will attain the perfection of liberation. Param Vijayatre Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The Sankirtan is the prime benediction for humanity at large. What is the origin of the Sankirtan? Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It has descended from Goloka. It is not like the songs that we hear on the radios or on our
pods or whatever we'd use. It is a transcendental sound vibration, and Krishna is so merciful that he has descended in this sound vibration that can be heard and appreciated even with our material ears, minds, and hearts, and become cleansed. It's none different than Krishna. Srimati Radharani, as the ultimate expression of her love for all of her children, she's the ultimate mother of all of us. We know even in this world what the love of a mother is. The sacrifices a mother will do for her child out of love. The supreme, ultimate mother of every soul is Sri Radha. She expands herself as Lakshmi, as the queens of Dwarka. She expands herself as Parvati, Durga, the goddess and mother of material nature. As Bhumi, Mother Earth, who supplies everything. On the highest spiritual platform, Sri Radha is our mother. Her infinite love for us, seeing us in this desperate condition, covered by Maya, forgetting the true wealth of the soul, has come to this world as Lord Chaitanya to give the gift of her grace through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Sri Navadvip Dham. Navadvip is compared to a lotus flower. There are an eight-petaled lotus. There are nine islands of Navadvip and Antardvip, where Mayapur is situated, is the whirl of the lotus. Each of these petals represents the nine processes of devotional servants, each of the islands of Navadvip. Antardvip is Sharanagati, surrender. Along with the holy name, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to chant. We will be discussing these stories as the yatra continues. In fact, I'm over time now. At Srivasangam, there's a beautiful historical episode revealed in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where the devotees were chanting throughout the day in kirtan, Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, and Vaishnav Seva. And Lord Chaitanya one day told them, why are we wasting our time sleeping at night? Human life is so precious. Why waste a moment? We should continue the kirtan every night throughout the night. And all the devotees cried out, Hari Bol. But then he explained how this could be done. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sada Hari. To be humble like a blade of grass, to be forgiving, forbearing, tolerant like a tree, to offer all respect to others and devoid of false prestige, not expect honor and respect for ourselves. How is that possible? When we taste the sweetness of the holy name, we're so happy glorifying Krishna that we don't need anything else for ourselves.
any glorification we get for ourselves usually just agitates the false ego. It seems like satisfaction. But Prahlad Maharaj says that these types of material satisfactions are like scratching the itch of a rash. Feels good. But actually, we're just trying to relieve the itch. And the more we scratch, the more it itches. And the more we scratch, the more it itches. And the more it itches, the more we scratch. And the more we scratch, more it itches. And the more it itches, we more that scratch. And that's material life, birth after birth after birth. But when we taste the sweetness of appreciating Krishna's unlimited beauty, tasting Krishna's unlimited love, hearing Krishna's unlimited pastimes, chanting Krishna's unlimited names. And we don't need these things, these artificial pleasures. When we truly, honestly, earnestly strive for these qualities in our life and serve in that spirit, we could chant Krishna's name constantly. By our service attitude, by our humility, by our sincerity, by our faith, we can open our hearts to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's infinite grace. The ultimate benediction. That is why we have come to Mayapur. It's not a holiday. It's a holy day. I think they're supposed to be the same thing, but they're not always understood that way. We've not come here to enjoy our mind and senses. We've come here to be enjoyed by Krishna. And by serving other Vaishnavas, we give the greatest joy to Krishna. Because Krishna is especially pleased in the hearts of the devotees. When we please those who love Krishna, Krishna is most happy. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this principle. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. Servant of the servant of the servant. That's why we've come here. To really live by this spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. To pray for mercy. To beg for mercy. Helplessly, desperately beg for mercy. Beg for mercy upon ourselves. Beg for mercy upon our loved ones. Beg for mercy upon all Vaishnavas. Beg for mercy for all living beings. That's what we've come here for. Mercy that liberates the soul and awakens Krishna consciousness, pure love. By raising our arms together and chanting the holy names in this spirit, there can be divine transformations in our life. Srila Prabhupada invited us here. Even during his time, when there was just the straw hut and just a shell of one little building, Srila Prabhupada invited all the devotees from all over the world, whoever possible, to come here for Gaur Purnima. And there was very, very primitive situations. A lot of mosquitoes. It was just fields everywhere. We're close to a field now, so there's some mosquitoes. I see many of you itching. Srila Prabhupada
It was one of his primary orders to build this temple of the Vedic planetarium.
At a time when it was just a little straw hut and then a little temple on the ground floor of a little guest house with little brass deities of Radha Madhava and Lord Chaitanya, he was talking about large-sized Radha Krishna deities, Astasaki, and the Panchatattva.
What we see in the temple was Prabhupada's plan for the Panchatattva.
His Grace Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajangari Prabhu, they were there from that time, watching how things evolved under Prabhupada's compassionate will. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compared himself to a gardener. He said, I have come with these fruits, the fruits of love of God. If anyone tastes a single fruit, they will be satisfied forever. And I have so many fruits, unlimited fruits, I cannot distribute them myself. He requested his devotees to assist him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. First, the six Goswamis established in Vrindavan the foundation for our whole sampradaya. Then all of the great acharyas like Thakur, Narottam, Shamananda, Srinivas Acharya, they expanded it outside of Vrindavan. Other acharyas developed the whole culture and siddhanta of bhakti in such merciful, compassionate ways. Thakur Bhakti Vinod began to actually activate the will of Mahaprabhu to send it to the whole world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati organized and gave that eternal will to Srila Prabhupada to fulfill. And Srila Prabhupada, to fulfill that will, he has asked us to build this temple. Why? Now there, I think in this yatra, there's around 5,000 of us. During Gaur Purnima festival, there are far more people that come from all over the world. But Srila Prabhupada's idea that through this temple and the Vaishnav behavior of the devotees that he has attracted, and through the quality of our kirtan, the quality of our values as Vaishnavas, tens and tens of millions of people for generations will come to sit in Sri Mayapur and understand the supreme glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's munificence and raise our arms together as brothers, as sisters, on the spiritual platform, with all gratitude and humility, to chant the holy names. Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago, Gouda Chandra Bole, Kotha Nidra Jayo Maya Pisachira Kole. Mahaprabhu's message. He would sing this song going village to village, town to town, bathing Bekat to bathing Ghat here in Navadweep. Wake up, sleeping souls. You are sleeping in the lap of Maya. Wake up. Mukunda Madhava Hari. Chant these holy names.
Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, the place where the intimate, highest lila of the Lord was revealed. Mayapur Navadvip is Odarya Dham, the place where that same Madhurya Ras of Vrindavan is being distributed to everyone in the world. Let us bow our heads in gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, to all of our previous acharyas, to Panchatattva, to Sri Sri Radha Madhava, to all the assembled Vaishnavas for this unimaginable causeless blessing of being together in Sri Navadvip Dham. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, Shri Prahlad Narasingha Dev Ki Jai, Shri Asta Sakhi Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, kindly be seated. We have a few important announcements. The way in which we shall be going to offer lamps